What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
So listen, we got a rule that all the smoke is a little different than other shows. Jack, what you drinking?
Vitamin water, my brother.
Okay. All right, just want to make sure there ain't no vodka in there.
No.
So we got some different rules here. So if your phone goes off, Jack, what do they got
to
do?
You have to do push-ups. My brother, please explain to them what push-ups is.
So a push-up is you have to put a joint in your mouth
yes.
and do 10 push-ups with it.
Inhale, exhale.
Inhale, exhale. So we tell everyone that just to make sure you turn your phones off.
Yes.
We want to make sure we have a great interview tonight.
So if your phone rings, trust me, we don't run out of tree. You will be doing your push-ups.
I brought a whole backpack full of it, so
you will be doing push-ups.
We're going to make sure if you don't smoke, make sure your phone don't go off because you're going to have to smoke. All right, so we here, man. Man, closing out 2022. It's been obviously, I'm sure you guys seen, my brother Jack lost his youngest brother, Snap Marley, so this show is dedicated to him. We want to make sure we continue to rap Jack. Jack's one of the most loving people I've ever met. Jack and I started playing together in 2007. Made NBA history, the first number 8 seed to beat the Mavericks, the number 1 seed at the time. The very beginning of the following season, my mom died from cancer within 26 days. And Jack was the one person daily that was calling me, coming to smoke with me, bringing me food, checking on me. So for then, we built a brotherhood that'll never be broken. And I just want everyone to make sure they send their love and their prayers out to him and his family right now, obviously going through a hard time. And I appreciate you making your way out here to come do this interview. I don't really think he needs an introduction. I mean, what can we say about this guy? I mean, legendary basketball player, legendary businessman, a leader, a pillar in the community, someone that made a lot of us fall in love with basketball at a young age.
Yes.
You know, Magic was the big guard that, you know, a lot of us aspire to be like on and off the court.
The only reason I bought Converse.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you.
Because he had a purple and gold pair.
Right? I feel you. He said the only reason. But again, let's welcome to the show, Magic Johnson.
I'ma stand up. I'ma stand up. I'ma stand up. I'ma stand up. I'ma stand up.
So Magic, first and foremost, thank you, because I know you're one of the busiest men in the industry, and to give us one of your evenings, we definitely appreciate you for coming out tonight.
No, I want to congratulate both of you on your show. It's amazing. And also, you know, my prayers go out to you, brother.
Thank you very
and,
much.
I'm so proud of both of you, you know, for where you're taking your brand. This show is amazing, and to have two black men up here doing their thing, and then have me sitting here.
Come on,
is,
man.
Is a blessing.
And so then DJ Quick in the building. We couldn't make it more LA for you guys. I mean, we got Magic Johnson and DJ Quick. So, I mean, we hope you guys enjoy the night, man, because we're really excited. How's life day to day? What's going on with you right now?
Everything is going good. I mean, you know, closed out the year strong. We had a unbelievable year as far as my company is concerned. And then health wise, everything's good. The wife is good. The kids are good. So, it's been truly a blessing.
All right. Magic, I'm going to cut the bullshit and get right to it. How can me and my girl come on the yacht for 5 weeks in the summertime with you?
With LL Cool J.
Hey, we see Magic on the yacht.
Everybody on there.
Magic is shooting jumpers on his yacht, lifting weights, going on walks on his yacht. I'm like, God damn, that thing must be huge.
So you got right to it. Huh?
Right, I'm gonna play with you, Magic.
We'll see that.
We're gonna talk after about that. Me and Nas got to make a trip soon. So LeBron is in a unique situation. He just passed you on the all-time assist lead list, and there's a possibility he can pass Kareem. Right. In the same year. Can you explain, obviously, the historical significance, but the accomplishment that it is for someone who is, you know, I think a lot of you. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of you in him. Mm-hmm. But what kind of accomplishment it is to pass you in the assist lead? And although we'll talk about it later, if you would have got a full run, I think you would have put the assist bar so high that no one could even sniffed it. Mm-hmm. But just LeBron's greatness and the longevity of LeBron.
Well, I think that's the key, right? He's been doing it since 18 years old and at a high level and still, even today, still playing at that high level. But what I really love about LeBron is his basketball IQ and the fact that he makes his teammates better, right? And he puts them on his back and he can will his team to victory, both whether he's scoring or his passing ability,
right?
And then rebounding as well. And he's always been committed to taking care of his body.
Most important.
And that's why he's been able to play this long. And his impact will be felt long after he's gone.
Absolutely.
Right? It's only a few guys who have played this game that still have a major impact long after their career. Right. And LeBron will be one of those guys. And so I'm proud of him because also, too, he's built not only his brand on the court, but he's built the brand off the court. Mm-hmm. He's brought his guys along with him,
yes.
Rich Paul and Maverick, and they've done a wonderful job with his business. And so, and he always lends his voice,
yes,
especially to causes that affect whether it's athletes or the black community. Mm-hmm. He always stands up and tell people what's right or wrong or what they're doing, what we should be doing to affect change in our community.
You got to respect that.
That's right.
Most guys, that's the face of the league, don't even dare to jump in that category.
Water's too hot.
No, they always worry about their brand or they're going to lose endorsements or what people going to say.
Right.
And so he's never been affected by those things.
Mm-hmm. Front office, 2017 to 2019, you stepped away. Obviously, because I've heard you speak that you felt like you didn't have the power you needed to really make the moves you wanted to make. But you said you had a few regrets about the way you left. Can you speak to those regrets and what they were?
Yeah, Matt. You know, I had convinced LeBron to sign with the Lakers. Had a great conversation.
How did you do that, though?
So,
what's the secret?
Hey, especially after we were losing, right?
Right.
When I took over the Lakers,
I said in 2 years, LeBron was going to be a free agent. We were well over the salary cap, so I had to get us up under the salary cap by trading a couple guys. And so I knew when I had that meeting with him and Rich Paul here in Los Angeles, I knew what he wanted, right? I knew he wanted to win, number one. But number two, I knew Los Angeles, he could live and live free and drive around and live a life that he wanted to live that he couldn't live in Cleveland,
yep.
right? Or Miami, because everybody's on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we have so many celebrities here, he could fit right on in. So I told him, I'm going to build a team that's going to win a championship, no question about it. But also, too, he's going to build a billion-dollar business mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. off the court because we love our celebrities out here. And he bought into it. I said, these are the moves I'm going to make. After I sign you, I'm going to go after. At that time, I thought it was going to be Kawhi because he was the next free agent the mm-hmm. next year. Nobody knew that Anthony Davis was going to be available for a trade. So I said, I'm going to get you, then I'm going to get Kawhi, and then we off.
So how close? Because I heard it really came down to the wire. You guys literally almost had Kawhi.
Oh, I would have had Kawhi. I would have had Kawhi.
No question.
I would have had Kawhi. Look, when I come in to close a deal.
Come on, man.
It's done.
It's done.
It's the magic, yeah. It's the magic, man.
Listen, man, I do my homework, my research. So when I get you in that room,
it's over.
I already know what you want, and I'm going to just lay it out.
Right.
And so I knew what LeBron wanted. I laid it out to him.
Yeah.
He bought into it. I would have known what Kawhi wanted. I would have laid it out to him as well. And then we're going to go in and win. And
can you imagine, not to cut you off, Magic,
yeah.
Could you imagine LeBron, AD, and Kawhi? That's like, cut it out.
I'm just saying, him giving a pitch to come to this team. Him, I mean, MJ, like, you ain't gonna say no.
Once I find out I'm talking to Magic, I'm just signing. Like, I'll hear you talk.
Yeah,
but Magic
cool.
is gonna talk to me, I'm in.
Let me get some of that business with you. And I'll sign anything. Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Six siblings. I know what it's like having mother and father work hard jobs just to give you an opportunity to be great.
That's right.
Talk about growing up in Lansing.
Yeah, my father worked for General Motors for 30 years. He won an award for never missing a day and never being late.
Wow.
So I'm built just like him, right? Same thing. So.
Because you know they say CP time, a motherfucker,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Right? No, we got our own time, so for a brother to be on time, that's clap again, goddammit. Clap again.
And to do it for 30 years
right.
in a row, right? So my mother worked for the school cafeteria. So, you know, they stressed education. You know, they told me, listen, I want you to be great on that basketball court, but I want you to be smart.
Right.
So you got to get the grades. If you don't get those grades, you can't play.
Mm.
So I made sure that I applied myself in the books. But also at the same time, when you have that many siblings, man, it was a trip, right? Everybody else had a bike in the neighborhood. And I wanted a bike. And my father was like, mm-mm. Because if I buy one, I got to buy seven.
Hey, everybody
got to get a bike.
Hey, I got six kids, too. They be sharing shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You going to ride the bike on Monday, Tuesday. You can get it Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I got to change the seat color, make it pink one day for the girl.
Yeah, exactly.
I going to ride the same bike.
But I tell you what he did to me, man. He said, but I think I got something that can help you get a bike.
Mm.
So let me take you out to the garage right quick. So he took me out to the garage and he said, let me introduce you to three people you need to meet. I said, okay, cool. That's Mr. Lawnmower, that's Mr. Rake, and that's Mr. Shovel. Now, pick one of them tools up and go make you some money and buy you a bike. And sure enough, that's what I did.
That's great game.
And so my father always stressed to me, anything I was going to achieve in life, I was going to have to work for it. So I'm a worker, man. I love to work. I go to bed early. Like, this is late for me. So I did this for you guys because I love you guys so much.
And so it's past your bedtime right now?
Yeah, I'm 8:30 and I'm out. I'm up at 4 o'clock every morning. I train for 2 hours, one with the weights, hour cardio, and then I'm in the office all day.
Yeah.
So what we have to understand, when you want to build a successful business, You want to make money when people sleeping.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. See, that's what I do. I make money when people sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's what we have to get into.
Talk
so,
that shit.
And so for me, ain't nothing happening good for me after 8:30.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Something may happen good for everybody yeah, else yeah, after 8:30.
Yeah, yeah.
But not for me. I'm going to sleep so I can get ready for my full day the next day.
Mm. Yeah, ain't too much open after 8:30. Y'all know that line.
Just for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up, there's a guy named Lee Harmison used to call me Young Magic because I was a young kid. I used to play with the older kids, and I was able to pass at a young age. Mm-hmm. I had the feel for the game.
Yeah.
We had Chauncey Billups. We had Jason Kidd come on the show, and they all idolized you just like we did. How does it feel for so many players to come up and so many legends of the game to say, well, it started with Magic Johnson in my career?
Well, it feels great. I mean, I just tried to play the game the right way, man. And I love passing that basketball, man, and having it in my hands. I love controlling the action, right? And so being a leader of every team I played on, only thing I wanted to do, man, was win. That's it. I just wanted to win. And so nothing in my life has changed. I still want to win today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still the point guard, but I'm just the point guard in my company instead of out on the court. But I would say this. I love the game.
Yes.
So I played all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you and I, UCLA, you know, we had so many great moments.
Ooh, we going to get to the way you used to do us at UCLA, boy. We're going to get to that a little later.
But I think those guys are great. And that's
that
why Paul? I love J-Kid. I love all of them.
That sound like Paul.
I know. Yeah. He know, too.
Oh, man.
He know. Paul used to shoot them jumpers. So, but, you know, it's all about the love.
Nah.
You know?
We're going to get to it.
So, you know, when you love the game and that becomes contagious to guys coming behind me, that's a blessing. And that means that they respect the way I played. And then look what happened to those two guys that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they became champions and guys who made their teammates better. What I loved about both of you, you excelled at the roles that you both had.
On our own role.
Yeah. Because San Antonio wouldn't been able to do what they
Absolutely
did
not.
Without you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank See,
you.
What Thank you did, you. What you did. Thank you. And you bought that swag and that streak, and then you were killing with that jumper. Ooh, man, Jack wasn't playing, boy. And then when he got rolling, he gave you that look.
Yeah. Like, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. I'm over here blushing like a 2-year-old.
And then Matt just lock you all up and stuff, block your shot and look at you. Like, come on, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I'm locking you down. And so, you know, we all just do what we do, right? And so, and then when kids see that, they say, wow, okay, I want to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And young people are watching you too now saying, wow, especially, I hate to bring color in, but it's true. Black men now know they can do what you're doing.
Tell our own stories.
Right. See? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you're opening up this whole path for first former athletes.
Yes.
That they can go from the court to what you're doing. Then those who are at home saying, man, I idolize these two guys even more now. Because they play basketball, but now look what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know I can do it as well.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing.
Well, I think, too, because life after basketball, back in your day, back when we first started, was a mystery.
Yes, right.
You know, business wasn't cool to talk about. We Mm-mm. didn't talk about investments or anything.
No.
Nothing about the 401k. It was a lot of guys, once they done a debit, you know, acquired addictions and lost their money.
That's right.
But to be able to transition from sports, I mean, obviously, you're the role model of it, but guys like Jack and I, like, we weren't superstars, although Jack should have been an all-star. He's been blackballed because of the brawl.
For sure.
But be able to transition, it wasn't as easy as we've kind of made it look,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to be able to transition in media and open a bunch of doors, like, that kind of stuff didn't happen back in the day.
No.
A lot of stuff changed, too, when we were able to say, Magic's a billionaire.
Oof.
Like, as a basketball player, we would felt like we would be, you know
Let
what I'm saying?
Let me hold
like, it can happen now.
Right.
Because Magic done it,
right.
you know what I mean? So
right.
you really, gave us the ability to even fight for it because
you gotta see
we
it
seen
to believe
it happen.
It. You got to mm-hmm. see it to believe it.
With oh. everything you was dealing with, you still made it happen.
Well, I appreciate
so that's a testament
it.
To you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank
because
you.
A lot of people don't go through nothing and can't even pay a bill.
Right.
You making stuff happen where you giving us hope as a culture. You know, a lot of basketball players, and we say this all the time, we happy here because we wasn't all-stars. We wasn't on the commercials. But in this space, we feel like we the all-stars.
That's right.
So, but not only that, when we got guys like Paul and KG giving us our props, like you, it means something to us. Mm-hmm. But it started with to be able to say, it's a basketball player that we looked up to as a billionaire.
Magic. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, listen, I broke a lot of barriers and went through a lot of doors, but also, too, it's a hardship to that, too, right? Mm. And so when I first got started, a lot of people didn't loan me money or give me opportunities because I was a basketball player or I was a 6'9 black man.
Right. Mm.
So I had to prove to them that I did know business. And I finally got my track record of success. And a lot of meetings I took, they were in there snickering and laughing because mm-hmm. they knew they weren't going to give me money. But they wanted everything that came with Magic, the right. picture. Would you say something to my son?
Mm-hmm, the whole
that
lifestyle.
Whole thing, and then turn you down mm. at the end of it, right. right? But I said, you know what? I'm a fighter, man. I'm from the hood, so
yeah.
I'm gonna keep getting up until you know I make it happen. So I made it happen, and now we do know that we can be successful out here, mm-hmm. right? And you two are proving that. And there's others doing the same thing. We just got to make sure that we're dedicated, we're focused, and not let anybody or anything stop our dreams and our goals. And that's why I love, this is first class, everything mm-hmm. you're doing right now, first class. That's how we got to do it.
Appreciate yeah. it.
We got to do it first class.
Y'all give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah,
there,
no,
yeah.
Showtime Mecca Legends. But winning has always been a part of your DNA.
Only winning.
High school champion, college, right. McDonald's All-American,
uh-huh.
and Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the question I got to ask.
Mm-hmm.
How many bags were thrown at you when you went to Michigan State?
Oh. A lot of people offered me money.
I knew it. What kind of bags, though?
Oh, they were big bags. And you know what? My father, he always gave me life lessons. So here I am. He said, we're not taking no money. Mm. I said, okay, cool. So I decided to stay close to home because my mother and father and all my brothers and sisters had never missed none of my games, and I wanted that to continue.
Mm, right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a mama's boy, so I love my mother, so I wasn't giving up her fried chicken and none of the
yeah,
other
of
stuff she brought to the table, them hugs and everything, right? So my freshman year, we win the Big Ten, go all the way to the Final Eight. Kentucky beat us. Kansas City had the number one pick, so they called me and said, hey, we want to draft you number one.
That's the Kansas City Kings, right?
Yeah, they were Kansas City Kings at that time. So I flew down, met with the dude named Joel Ackerson, the general manager, and he said, hey, I'm going to give you a six-year deal, $200,000 a year. So, you know, I got excited. I've been broke my whole life.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, man, this is great.
Ching, ching.
And so I jumped up, said, oh, I think that's good. My father grabbed me, and he pulled me, drug me outside the door. He said, hold on, we'll be right back. He said, you've been broke for 18 years. You can be broke one more year.
Yeah.
You're not going to Kansas City.
One more year, Mark.
I said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So you're going back to school.
Oof.
So I went back to school,
yeah.
And I'm glad I did because I finished what I came to college for, which was to win the national championship and mm-hmm. play against Larry Bird in that yeah. unbelievable final.
The most watched college championship ever.
To
That's
this
right.
day.
To this day. Day, still the most watched. And so to be linked with this dude who, you know, you said, man, first, when I first met him, I said, all right, I'm going to see this dude, this white cat can really go like he said,
because the verdict
saying,
is
right?
always out on white boys nigga hoop. With all due respect,
it's respect. This ain't nothing
yeah.
bad. So I said, let me see what he can do.
But Larry had something that most white boys
man.
Don't have. Yeah, just man. Say that. Just keep it real.
Man,
Larry was different now.
He had a little bit of nigger.
Yeah, he was different now. He was different now. Larry was different now.
That boy He can play, man. He turned it out. We played on a team in college in a tournament together. This is the first time I ever sat on the bench. Him and I were on the bench. Mm. And we were like, the guys in front of us wasn't better than us, but Kentucky head coach was coaching the team, so he started three guys from Kentucky. So we said, okay. But when we got in the game, we turned it out. But I saw this dude eat Jack Givens up. He was player of the year that year.
Kentucky, right?
Yeah, from Kentucky. And Larry Bird was just slicing and dicing him. And I said, oh, I called home. I said, it's true about this boy. I was calling everybody, this dude can play.
Yeah.
And so that was my first time seeing him. And then to be out on the court with him in college for that national championship game. And then, of course, what happened in the NBA. But I would say that we got a chance to change the league.
Yeah.
You know what? What a blessing it was. He ended up in Boston, and then I ended up out here. My personality was L.A., Hollywood. His personality was Boston.
Right.
And it worked for the whole league, you know? So everything was good.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
So number 1 overall pick in the 79 draft to the Lakers. So you're spending your first 20 years in Michigan, and then you come out here. Outside of basketball, like, talk to us about L.A., and was it a culture shock? What kind of, what was it when you, I mean, look at, he's smiling. Right. He's like, oh,
hey,
shit.
Hey,
you got to rub it in there.
I know.
Jeez.
it
was definitely a shock, trust me.
First of all, I was scared to death coming out here. I stayed in my apartment for the first 2 years because I come from a small town. And so my first 2 years, I concentrated on really letting people know that my game was real. Mm. Because, listen, it's hard to come to a city like Los Angeles, and all the pressure was already on me because we had won the championship. I'm the number one pick. So I gotta make sure I prove to everybody that I belong in the NBA. So I concentrated on that first. Then after I made my name, then I said, okay, it's club time now.
Turn up.
And listen. Ooh, wee. Oh, man. Running with Dr. Buss.
Ooh, different.
And Hugh Hefner.
Different.
And the playmates and all that.
It's a different life.
I'm going to tell you something.
He's starting to sweat up here.
Let me say, Remember when we played in the old forum with Don Nelson?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We walked through the halls and Don Nelson say, well, if these walls could talk, we had some parties in here.
Oh, my God, man. That forum club.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh-wee.
It would never be nothing like that ever again.
Yeah. Hey, that was before cell phones and all that.
Social media, all
You can do a lot of stuff then. Yeah, because nobody would record
But we had a good time. We had a good time, and I enjoyed myself. But I would say this. Focus first on winning. We were able to accomplish that, and then we partied after that. Mm-hmm. But it was a great time. I'm glad I ended up here. It's been a beautiful, beautiful relationship magic in L.A. Mm-hmm. And
they go together. Synonymous.
Yeah.
Synonymous. So your rookie year, go to the finals versus Dr. J. You're able to beat them. Finals MVP as a rookie. But before we get to the finals.
At center.
Before we get to that finals experience, Dr. J is someone you looked up to.
Yeah.
I heard in college he kind of rolled out the red carpet to you. Explain that story about Dr. J.
Yeah, so I was leaving school, and I called him up. And so he said, hey, I said, hey, what is it like leaving? You left, so I want you to tell me what it's like for me to leave Michigan State early. And so he was explaining it to me on the phone, and then he said, I'm going to do you one better. Fly out to Philly and hang out with me for the weekend. I said, what? No, Doc.
That's the Doc.
This is Dr. J.
Right.
Saying a young fella can come hang with him, and he put me up at his crib at the big mansion.
Yeah.
How'd he pick you up?
A limo. Come on, man. Man, a brother was like, oh, shoot. I'm calling everybody. I'm with Dr. J at his house. And so, you know, I'm sitting there living in the living room, and he's talking to me, and I'm just zoning out. Like, I can't even believe it. I've always had Docs on.
Yeah.
So now I'm with him? Oh, it was crazy, man. So we hung out the whole weekend. Wife took great care of me as well. I went to a couple of playoff games. He was in the playoff. He gave me some great advice. And then here it is, 7 months later, I'm playing the brother in the NBA Finals.
Finals.
My idol. I'm playing him in the NBA Finals.
That fast.
And so I said, man, I love you, but I got to take him out.
Got to. Yeah. Ain't no choice.
I got to take him out.
Ain't no choice.
But when he came down that middle, I mean, on that right side.
Yeah.
And cuffed that ball on Coop.
Oh, on Coop. Yeah. Coop made a bad business decision by jumping.
Remember, he rocked it. Bam! I said, oh, man. And then the other one was he came down the right side, and he jumped out of bounds, and he started walking.
The finger roll, yeah.
In the air.
In the air.
Fro going back, bunted against the glass is good. I said, man, this dude is too much, man.
Yeah,
he was doing that George stuff before Michael.
Yeah.
And people forget that.
Yeah.
He was the first dude walking in air. Oh, man, it was so much fun playing against Doc and that we won.
But talk about
talk about yourself a little bit, because Kareem went down. You're a rookie, 20 years old?
Yeah, 20 years
old. In the NBA Finals, the only first and only rookie to ever win Finals MVP. Talk to these people that didn't follow the game back then and what it was like and the numbers you put up.
Slid to the center, though.
Center.
From point guard to center.
Well, you know, again, man, Kareem gets hurt in game 5. And so I get to the airport, everybody's head is down because Kareem can't play. I said, so what? Kareem can't play. We still gonna win.
Right.
And they looked at me like, rookie, go sit down. We can't beat Philadelphia without Kareem. I said, man, we're gonna win this game. And they was like, we can't do it, Irvin. I said, so I gotta do something, Matt. I said, I gotta do something to get these guys going. So Kareem would always sit in 1A. That was his seat. So I asked the flight attendant, could I go on a plane first? So I went and sat in Kareem's seat. And as every Laker came by, I said, never fear, magic is here. and they were like, this dude is crazy, you know? So they laughed. So I had 5 hours all the way flight from L.A. to Philadelphia to work on that mindset and attitude. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think you're going to win,
you're
not going to win.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. So I told him, man, we're going to win this game. And so I told the coach, I'm going to play center. He looked at me like, yeah, have you ever played center? I said, yeah, I played center in high school. He said, man, that was 2 or 3 years ago. I said, I'm going to play center tomorrow against Caldwell Jones.
Mm.
So long story short, you know, I scored 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists.
15
we ended up
rebounds.
Winning the game. And it was a blessing, too. And to be named NBA Most Valuable Player of the Finals was a true blessing. But to win the game.
Yes.
Again.
First and foremost.
All the other stuff don't matter.
Right.
Just win the game. So we won the championship. So that was my first one. And then I became the third guy ever in NBA history.
College.
Come out of college.
Back to back.
That's right, to go back to back. So it's a bit a blessing. A lot of history.
Talk to us about your and Kareem's relationship at the beginning, because obviously the energy you carry, he was more reserved, quiet to himself. Mm-hmm. I remember he hit a game winner and you jumped on him and he got mad. But talk to us about, because you came and brought a different energy to this team, high-fiving and out there about it. How long did it take Kareem to adjust to what you were selling?
Yeah, it took him all season that first year. First of all, they thought I was coming in to take over the team, and I told them on first day of training camp, I said, listen, man, I'm here to help you. I said, where do you like the ball? He said, what? I said, where do you like the ball? I said, you like it high, you like it in the middle of your chest, you like it low. He said, no, I like it high. I said, that's where it'll be every single time.
Mm.
I said, I'm here to help you be more successful. So that first game, he hits a sky hook from the free throw line. Now, not from down low, from the free throw line to win the game in San Diego. So I go running, I jump, and I'm choking him and hugging him. And I didn't let go for about 2 or 3 minutes because I had never seen a shot like that, game winning shot like that. So he got me to the locker room. Rookie, come here. Don't ever do that. We have 81 more games to go. We can't be this high after game 1. So all the players now are looking. So now I got to make
a
decision. That's right. So everybody's looking at me in the locker room like, what you going to do, rookie? So I turned around and said, you hit a shot like that 81 more times. You know he's taller than me.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in your arms 81 more times. And that showed him that I wasn't going to change. You can't intimidate me, and I wasn't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be who I am while I let you be who you are. So them first 50 games, you know, all the other fellas, we high-fiving, chest bumping, we having fun. He would score, just one down. We score, we high-fiving
come
each
on,
other.
Man. It's showtime.
So right when the playoffs started, he did a hard dunk on somebody. So he came out looking for somebody.
He looking for the chest bump.
Now he want a chest bump. Now he want a high-five. We were like, oh.
Yeah.
We got him! So it was a beautiful thing, man, to see him enjoy himself.
Right.
Yeah. So what did he say to me just recently at the Showtime reunion in Hawaii? He said, Irvin, you showed me that I could show my emotion, and enjoy the game. Mm. You changed me.
Have fun.
So that was a beautiful thing,
That's
man.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Two titles in 3 years. Pat Riley at the helm. You faced Bird 3 out of 4 years right there in the finals. Talk to us about that, and then a double-ended question. Where did the phrase Showtime come from? So first, two titles in 3 years.
Yeah, we were, you know, the Lakers, I tell you, it was just beautiful because we had everything we needed. You know, when you think about, we had Norm Nixon was the other guard. Jamal Wilkes was a small forward. My first year, Jim Jones was a power forward with Kareem at center. That unit was, man, just fantastic. When we won that second one, here come James Worthy coming in. It was just beautiful. We all played our role. Michael Cooper was such a big, played a big role in us winning because Coop could have started for any team in
yes,
the league.
Yes, indeed.
Could have started for any team. And he decided that six-man role was great for him, and he would shed everybody's, whoever the high score was on the opponent's team, he would take him and really shut him down. So we just played so well together, and we were running. And so Showtime came in because, man, I was coming down that fast break down the middle. And, man, I get the no looking left, right, throwing it between my legs, behind my back. And then, you know, the brothers, Byron Duncan, James Duncan, Kareem Duncan, and the people would just go crazy. Because I told them, I said, listen, when I give it to you, I did my part.
Right.
I got them up out their seats. See, I got them up out their seat.
You just got to
Now, you got to do the rest.
Right.
See? Now, if you don't do the rest, I ain't going to give it to you no right. more. So them brothers said, we got it. We got it, Irv.
Yeah.
They used to call me Buck. Buck, we got it. So they go in. I said, once I give it to you, then they were finishing, man. The people would go crazy. That's where Showtime came in. You know, it was a show within the game, and they started calling us the Showtime Lakers, and it was beautiful.
I mean, obviously, Hollywood, Showtime, it's fitting, but also the Laker girls, they kind of changed the game for cheerleaders or whatever you want to call them. Paula Abdul was a superstar, but she started as a Laker girl.
That's right.
Speak to their significance in, I guess we call it cheerleading for the NBA because they were the shit.
Yes, and Dr. Buss created all of that. Dr. Buss was a visionary who was a guy who thought outside the box. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know what? I want the show to, yes, to be the team, but we got to create entertainment. I'm in the entertainment capital of the world.
Right.
So I want more happening during the game. So that's when he had the young ladies come out and start dancing. Paula Abdul, of course. And then that just turned in
right.
to real something party. Really special. And I mean, it was just beautiful. Then he had Hugh Hefner come, and all the ladies was in lace and you know, the playmates.
I mean, I tell people, I mean, I won a championship with Golden State, but there's nothing in the world like being a Laker. When you just sit on the bench sometimes and look in the crowd, you'll see anybody.
Anybody and anything.
Anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything.
I made sure I had 30 every time I played the Lakers.
I mean, it's no place like, it's still nothing like going to a Laker game, you know? And so Dr. Buss, though, created all of that.
Right.
And he was a genius. To buy the form, the Lakers and the King for $65 million. And now that team is worth $4 or $5 billion. That's crazy, right? And so you got to give him credit. And then Jeannie credit right now for carrying on his dream and what he started.
Agreed.
With all that success, here comes the Pistons and the Bulls. What was it like battling against Isaiah Michael?
The Pistons were probably one of the best defensive teams that's probably played in the finals.
But they was physical, that's why, right?
They were so physical, but long. When you have people like Dennis and John Sally, I mean, you might get past Joe Dumar, but you got both of them to contend with.
And Lambeer.
Yeah, and Lambeer, he would just slam you, right? I mean, just hard foul you. And that three-guard combination of Isaiah, Joe Dumar, and Vinnie Johnson was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so
microwave.
We won one series against them. And then in 88, and then they came back and beat us in 89. And then Michael, it was their turn. We were on the decline. They were on their way up. And when we played them in 91, you could tell that the Pistons had prepared them for the championship.
Yeah.
Michael was ready to finally win. Scotty was ready to play his role as well. And that's when they beat us and it started their run. So you all have runs, right? And so we had our run. The Celtics had their run. It was the Pistons' turn, then the Bulls' turn, and on and on and on.
So we just had a recent debate on our show that was brought up by Freddie Gibbs. You were part of a dynasty. Was the Pistons team a dynasty?
When you win back-to-back, you got to say if they're not a dynasty, they're close to it, right?
Okay.
Because...
Is it Jack said multiple runs?
Yeah, yeah, it's
like,
hard.
There's nothing in the rule book that determines what a dynasty is.
Yeah,
that was a real debate.
Say. So I guess it's up to every individual to say what they think a dynasty is, but... let me tell you something. Winning back-to-back is very difficult.
Yes.
Very
yes.
difficult. Yes. So give them a lot of credit going back-to-back and showing people that they were as good as advertised. And so especially with Isaiah's leadership.
When every time they do a top 75 or bring all the top players together, it's obvious that you are the glue. Everybody comes around you, Magic. It seems like you keep everything together. Like all, even all the older guys, like everybody's around you. Mm-hmm. You got everybody laughing. You just the life of the party. Mm-hmm. What's your take on the back and forth with Isaiah and Mike right now?
I don't like it.
Right.
I think they should be done with that. Listen, we play when we play. We all had to dislike each other to win a championship. We all had to do what we had to do. But now, what Michael is doing is incredible to be an owner in the NBA. To his shoe is still number one.
Crazy.
I mean, you can put all those guys' shoe sales together.
Still not touching Mike.
Yeah. They can't even mess with Michael Jordan's shoes. And so, and then Isaiah is a businessman himself.
His wine is real good.
Yeah, exactly. All the things that he's doing. So why are we still
living in the past?
Yes.
I think only Magic can fix that shit.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely going to try, man, because they should be
past
it.
We all look up to both of them, right?
Yeah.
We look up to both of them.
Yeah, and they're my boys.
Right,
So I guess I'm going to have to be the
there
one to bring them together.
For the culture.
We want to see Zeke and Mike somewhere having a drink together, man, for the culture.
There you go.
We need that.
There you go. There you
maybe
go.
A joint.
Yeah, there maybe a joint. 1991, your career was halted, but you defied the odds, played in the All-Star game, helped the Dream Team win the gold, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, we taken our hats off to you many a times, but this was just the ultimate. Mm. What was your mental during that time?
Yeah. You know, when you go through a life threatening situation, it definitely changes you. I'm always an up guy. That was probably my lowest point in my life. And so thank God that, you know, the medicine that was available at that time could keep me here for a long time, as well as I did everything I had to do to be here a long time.
Right.
And so, and then when I think about playing on the Dream Team, that was amazing because I've always wanted on my bucket list, I just wanted one time to play with Larry and Michael, just one time. And now I get a chance to represent the country, play on the Dream Team, play with Michael, make a pass to him, make a pass to Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Clyde Drexler, Chris Mullin, Stockton. So it was really amazing for me to be able to be on that team and us crush everybody by over 42 points a game. And I think opened the game up.
Absolutely.
To all the international players.
Global
game. It became a global game after that. So it was a true blessing. And also, too, it helped me understand that I was going to be here a long time.
Mm. Yeah. What were those practices like? I mean, you see docuseries and docs. They say that's kind of when you handed the torch over to Mike. Because I'm sure you guys got more out of the practices than you got out of the actual
game.
Playing.
You're right. We practice, man. When you got 10 egos, out on that court like
best
that.
Best in the world.
Yes, going at each other every single day. So one game, he decided to say, okay, the East versus the West. So all the East guys, Jordan, Pippen, Bird, Barkley, and Ewing, bam. And then all the West guys, Malone, Robinson, Drexler, Mullen, and Stockton. So we all played against each other. So we were, man, we were going at each other and talking stuff. So Charles Barkley took Malone one time, and he scored. I said, come on, Carl, you got to get his ass back. You got to get his ass back. So get out on that block and get him back. So I threw it to him. He scored. They come back. They scored. We scored. So we were talking stuff. So finally, we got on a little run. So we scored about 8 in a row. They didn't score. Timeout. So Michael walking back. I don't usually talk trash, but I had to that time. So I said, Michael, if you don't turn into Air Jordan, we're going to blow y'all out. Man, he started sweating.
It was old.
That tongue went long. You know when that tongue come
it's
out.
It's over. It's a problem.
He about to do something. Boy, that dude came out that timeout. He scored about 4 straight threes.
Ooh.
And I went, oh, man. Then he came down. I got to show you this one.
Don't hurt yourself.
I won't hurt myself.
Okay.
So he stole the basketball. He coming down the right side. He takes off. David Robinson coming this way. So Mike just cuffed him. And he just looked at
him. In the air.
And he kept looking. He kept looking. He kept looking. He went all the way down, Jack. He did a 360.
Ooh.
Bam!
It ducked.
I said, that's it. That's it. It's over now.
That's him.
It's over now.
That's him.
So he just looked at me, too, to let me know.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
It's your fault.
I'm here, yeah. That's your fault.
You know who got me to do this? You.
Yeah.
So we got upstairs, and Larry Bird and I sitting down. So he come in with his cigar. Got his drink.
So how old is he right now? He's 26, 27?
Yeah, young.
Young,
you know,
boy, yeah.
So I just want y'all to know there's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
He says, it's my league now.
Yeah.
He said, damn. MJ, you had your turn. Larry Bird, you had your turn. Now it's my league.
I love it.
And we all bow down.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey, it was never a time where you and MJ even thought about trying to play together or nothing ever?
No.
The league wasn't like that.
You know what?
Y'all was wanted to compete.
I wasn't a guy like that.
Yeah. Mm.
I never wanted to play with nobody but my dudes.
Yeah.
I was good. Yeah. And I've always been a dude, wherever I end up,
that's
who I'm
rolling
with.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know, and so even pickup games, I never tried to get all the named dudes.
Yeah.
I tried to just get dudes who want to play. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. I like that underdog thing anyway.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go beat these dudes over here.
Yeah.
And so that was always my mindset, and I'm glad. But I would say this, that's what makes sports special, right?
Yeah, competitiveness.
You know, everybody joining each other.
Yeah.
You know, go make it happen.
Yeah. Right.
If you're the best, you got to go up against them guys anyway.
Yeah. Greed free. That's what greed
Forgive
free.
Me. I just flew in and I worked out this morning. Shout out, just trained. Been hydrated. Let me pee. Give me 2 seconds. I'll be right back. Be back in 2 minutes. Y'all talk amongst yourself. I'll be right back. I've been holding this shit in for 30 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. I'll be right back. Where's the bathroom?
I love it. I love it. Jack, I love it. That's why your show,
man.
That's why your show is a big hit.
Oh, my goodness.
Anything can happen.
Nothing he does surprises me. Nothing he does surprises me, bro.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, I didn't see you over here.
What's up, boy? How you feeling, baby?
Love you.
Everything
too.
Straight?
See you over here.
Good to see you. You good? Thank you for coming. Why you here? Come on, Pete. Everybody give a round of applause for Paul Pierce. The Tube is in the building.
Come on.
The Tube is in the building. OG Burns.
Give him a mic.
Give him a mic.
All right, hold on. I'm going to say just one story.
Tell them when you took over the Magic Johnson game.
No.
How that went south. Hey, how that went south quick.
No, look.
Quick.
This is when we talking about the UCLA pickup runs. So this is when Magic was retired. And Matt played up there in college. Uh-huh. Magic used to come up there with his own team. He bring his own five. A bunch of old dudes. He retired. I'm a young dude in the league. I'm a rookie.
Yep.
So I never seen him lose a game in the pickup runs. And this is Magic about 10 years retired already.
Yep.
So he come. I'm guarding him in the post. The game is tied up 6-6. We going to 7. I'm like, all right, I got Magic. Magic go up, shoot the hook. I challenge the shot. He missed the hook. We get the rebound, throw it ahead. We score. Game over. Magic looked down like, nah, that don't count. That's a foul. I didn't even touch him. He said, bring that back, yo. He said, y'all bring that back.
Hey, J-Mac, the fingers.
He looked at me like, you know that's bring a foul. That like, you know that's a foul, young fella. I didn't even touch him. He put the ball in. He get the ball back in the post, shoot the hook, and win the game. Ain't no way you can beat Magic.
No. Uh-oh. Hey, where you going?
Take the mic back.
So,
So these were all my little brothers, right? So Paul, Reggie Miller, all the guys playing up there.
Baron Davis.
Baron. Oh, yeah, my main man. And so I always told them, I'm going to teach them one thing, and that's to understand that everything's not going to go their way in the league. So the reason I called that foul was to make him stronger at the end of the day. Right? 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 And Reggie, yourself, everybody, remember all them stories. But the thing that I wanted to do happened. Look, all of my champions, all of them doing great in life. And so we used to love, man, those games and those pickup games are legendary. It'll never be anything like that ever again. And man, remember, people had to sit out, couldn't even play sometimes. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah,
come on.
I like that. I appreciate that. Sub.
Anything over.
I heard y'all a little bit. Can you hear me?
Check. Since you didn't walk up here, Paul ended up taking over Magic's game.
That's right.
Hold on, stop.
Let me.
And I get invited to the Magic Johnson Classic after he didn't pass it to him and BD.
Yeah.
This way it went from a celebrity game in Staples.
Yep.
Everybody's there, players having a good time, Gatorade on the sideline. So when I'm there and they're in control of it,
yeah.
All the players got double cups with Bach on them on the sideline, checking in the game. Everybody drinking Bach on the sideline. Thanks, B. Thank you, B.
Yeah,
it was a good 2-year run. But, I mean, how am I supposed to come after Magic Johnson?
You still had a good time, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you still the man.
I heard. Good truth, y'all. Good truth.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now, I heard, I mean, obviously, Paul told you stories. This is when this is me, again, idolizing this man, coming to college at just turned 18. And Magic is playing pickup games with us. But I quickly learned you can never beat Magic.
Bring that back.
Bring that back. It was bring it back. You can contest it, play good defense and not foul him. But if it's point game, you're never going to score that point. Ever.
But you know what?
Ever.
That's every OG in every neighborhood.
That's right.
Every neighborhood you come up with, every OG.
At some point, you just stop getting mad.
Hold on.
So
now I'm not playing no more. I'm on the sideline. Guess who calling all the fouls in?
He learned quick.
Now it was your turn and Reggie's turn.
I mean, those are some legendary games. I mean, there's rumors that, you know, Wilt came up there one time and you guys were talking shit back and forth. And
oh, listen, we had
you every, feel like every, summer runs
every
were different.
Great player came to UCLA to play. Moses Malone, you name it, they all came up. Dominique, Isaiah, Marco, you name them, they all came to run. And I remember Akeem came. Mm. And Akeem was late. And, you know, we had a rule. You can't come after a certain time. You can't get on a team because it was so many NBA players.
That's Akeem, though.
So I know that's what everybody said, right? And I said, man, I'm sorry, man. They already got all the teams and we're playing. Man, do you know he got so mad the next day he came? Remember, he must have blocked about 20 shots. I mean, he just was so upset. He said, Magic, I just want to play, and you didn't let me play. So he just dominated the action. That's how great it was, pickup games back in the day. So we better get back to the show, because we'll be talking about this all night.
Transitioning from basketball, you end up calling it quits in 96. In transitioning into business and your focus was investing black and, you know, revitalizing communities. Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, talk to us about some of your mentors, because you had mentors that were kind of running the game and how important that was to your success after basketball.
Well, Matt, you know, listen, I knew basketball, but I didn't know business. So I wanted to make sure I surrounded myself with people who knew business that could teach me business. So Dr. Jerry Buss, the late owner of the Lakers, became my first mentor. Michael Ovitz, all these different men, Howard Schultz of Starbucks,
became my mentors because I wanted to pick their brain on what made them successful so I could get that knowledge and then build my businesses in the Black community. So they gave me the knowledge that I needed so that then I could take it to the hood and build my business, but also put people of color to work.
Yeah.
Once I got all the information that I needed, I started with the number one thing that we were doing back then with our family, which was going to the movies. Mm-hmm. So I did a deal with Sony and I built Magic Johnson Theaters because I did the research. We were the number one group of people going to the movies, but there were no movies in our, no movie theaters in our community. So I built movie theaters and man, my first theaters came in top 10 highest grossing theaters in the nation, the first theater I built. And I knew then, I said, oh, I'm gonna be successful. And so after that success, I went up to Seattle and told Howard Schultz that Black people, we like coffee too, right? And we love Starbucks.
We like coffee too.
And so I said, let's build some Starbucks in our community. And sure enough, we did a deal that's still unbelievable today, where he allowed me to build 125 Starbucks in 40 different markets across the United States, proving people wrong because everybody thought it wouldn't work in the Black community.
Right.
And we proved everybody wrong. It did work. I made some little tweaks to the desserts because we don't eat scones, so I took the scones out and put in peach cobbler, sweet
potato pie,
things that resonate with our community.
Yes, yes.
And sure enough, it wasn't just for the Starbucks. It also became a meeting place in the Black community. Mm. We didn't have meeting places in our community where we can meet our friends or our mothers could meet her girlfriend and so on. And so Starbucks became a meeting place. And it was beautiful, man. So that's what jump-started my business career. And so sure enough, it took off from there.
One business deal that didn't come to fruition for you, Nike.
Oh,
you offered a Nike deal, and today the estimated worth would have been $5.2 billion. I mean, you're doing fine, but talk to us about that Nike situation, the reason why you chose Converse.
It would have been an easier B.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
he still got a B, but it could have been an easier B.
Yeah. So here I am just winning the national championship against Larry Bird, and three companies came in. So Converse, Adidas, and Nike. Nike was just a year or two old. And so Converse offered me the most money. So you know when you grow up broke, you take the money. So Phil Knight came in and said, hey, I can't offer you the same type of money, but I can offer you stock.
Wasn't trying to hear that then.
I wasn't trying to hear that then. And I didn't know nothing about it. And my family didn't come from money.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing that hurt us sometimes. When you don't come from money, you don't know what... I didn't even know what stocks was at that time, right? So I passed on the stocks.
Damn.
Can you imagine?
Damn.
45 years.
Oof.
$5 billion that stock would have been worth today.
Oof. But like Jack said, you're the reason. You're the reason why we wore Converse though, because I got me a pair of Magics too. But like, no one would have touched Converse.
I got a blister right now from '95, still from the damn shoes.
But let me say this: you know, when you don't know something, that's okay. It's when you know and then you make mistakes.
Then you mess up. Right.
But I'm also a guy who never looks back. I live in the moment.
Got to.
See, I hate people who talk about what happened 30 years ago or I used to have it going on.
Huh?
What are you doing now?
It's all about what you're doing now.
Right.
Yeah.
See, and so I'm a person who live in the moment, and I'm always moving forward,
Love it.
And if something happened to me that wasn't good, I leave it in the past, and I keep moving forward, see?
I love it.
And so that's who I am.
So they're telling us our time. Can we get? I know it's past your bedtime. Can we get 15, 20 more? We've got just a couple more.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
We're going to get through this. Okay. Well, shout out to legends. Obviously, you're one of the greatest legends. I'm going to name some legends right now and talk to us about each one of these individuals. Kobe Bryant.
Oh, special. Special on the court, special off the court. Kobe changed the game, man. Kobe changed. Los Angeles, the NBA, he would work out with anybody. high school, young lady, young man.
10-year-old, he worked my twins out.
Yeah, he loved the game like we all loved it. He was 24/7 involved. So we miss him even today. So we should clap for Kobe.
Rest in peace, obviously, to our brother Kobe. Yes. Absolutely. Muhammad Ali.
Man, he was special because my father, we used to go to the theater. Before they had pay-per-view, they had that other thing, closed circuit. So we used to go to the theater to watch Ali fight or listen to it on the radio with my father. And the first thing I always wanted to do when I finally signed my contract with the Lakers was to go to an Ali fight, and I got a chance after my rookie season that summer he was fighting. And, man, it was the greatest moment because I also got a chance to meet him. And because what he stood for, and he was a proud black man, that they gave us all a sense of pride and what he was able to do, not only in the boxing ring, but outside of it, too, was amazing.
This one right here. Talk to us about the pajama parties that Prince used to throw in the Magic Johnson Theater.
Matt, you brought up something nobody brings up, man. So I'm at the crib.
Here we go.
And my phone rang. And I said, hello? Magic, this is Prince. I said, the Prince? And he said, yeah. I said, what's up? He said, man, I want to come to your movie theater about 2 a.m. in the morning. I said, Prince, we close at 2 a.m. He said, I know. That's why I want to come. And I want to bring my own people to the theater. And I said, okay, let me make this happen. So we get to the theater. He has a big bus, and they all are in pajamas, right? And he got the drink, he got everything. They go in, we had the popcorn, everything, and we just let him have it, man. Mm. And he stayed there till 4 or 5 in the morning watching movies. It was so much fun, he just kept calling me. Kept doing it. But you know what was cool? My greatest thrill was going on tour with him and then going on tour with Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Man, I went on tour with Michael.
That's different, right?
Twice. And so we have the last two floors of the hotel so they could run around and play and have fun, right? So the limos go out. So it's thousands of women screaming out front. So when the limos pull out, they all think we in the limos. So all the girls start chasing the limos down the street. So we would go down the elevator and get in some white vans. Nobody even knew we were in the vans, right? We pull up. They already dressed and ready to go on stage. And, man, that's where I decided I had to be even better as a basketball player. Michael Jackson.
Wow.
It's never been nobody like him. This dude would be in the mirror for 2 hours just working on his moves. Crabs. And it was unbelievable. So that was one of my greatest moments, touring with him and then touring with Prince and seeing how they just turned it out. Unbelievable.
Let me get myself back together. Talking about the Kobe stuff kind of took me off.
Yeah.
You experienced some of the highs and the lows, but you prevailed through it all. Mm-hmm. If it's one thing that you could, some advice that you can give anybody in here about life and dealing with ups and downs, what would it be?
Jack, I think you're going to have ups and downs in life, right? It's how you deal with them, how you come through them. I'm a guy who just meets things head on, and then I don't make excuses.
Yeah.
You know, I'm accountable for everything I've ever done. Mm. And so if it's my fault, I'm going to tell you it's my fault. Right. I'm not a guy, like I said, who make excuses. So I would say, you know, just focus on getting better. Like, my whole thing in life now is in 22, I don't want to be the same man in 23.
Right.
So how can I improve as a father, a husband, a businessman, on and on and on. So I'm about self-improvement, right, and getting better. And so that's what we all should be focused on. And if we can do that, then we're going to be okay. And even when that bad time comes, we'll handle it and then we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's going to come. Disappointment always comes. Change always comes. Mm-hmm. But it's how we deal with it.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I've always been a guy just meet it head on and just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, both of you have been through something, but look where you are now.
Right.
Right?
Agreed.
And the George Floyd thing, what you did, let's give him a hand, man. Because what Stephen did for that. You were a true leader and made us all take notice and make us all get involved. And that's what I love about you.
Thank you.
You know, and so the things you've been dealing with. See, you talk about me. You've been dealing with something. Your brother just passed, and you're still sitting here.
Right.
See, that shows a sign of strength. And we know your heart is heavy, but you're still coming to work. You're still grinding. You're still doing what you have to do. See, that's a blessing. So always remember this. Somebody is watching.
Mm, right.
See, somebody is watching. Somebody is watching. And that's either your friends, your kids. See, for black men, it's so important that we excel because somebody at home is watching. See, our little men are watching.
Absolutely.
And so it's a blessing when my kids tell me, Dad, I'm only successful because I saw you.
Wow.
So that makes me feel good. My daughter got her own eyewear line, but she said, you taught me that I could do this.
Yep.
And so that's a beautiful thing,
yes.
See? So again, we're doing it. We're doing it, man. And you got Big Boy sitting here,
mm-hmm.
and I saw him be number one in this market, and then he went simulcast, one of the first dudes, I mean, to take his show nationwide, worldwide. I mean, he go to Japan, they go crazy.
Yo, Big Boy.
Right? So, that's what it's about. So that's why it's special. See, I'm going to I give it up. See, I ain't trying to just, be focused on me. No, I like to give it up. When brothers are doing great things, that empowers me too.
Right.
Right? So remember that. So listen, this show is unbelievable. And they talk about they wasn't superstars. No, they superstars. See, you don't have to always be the best at one thing. See, that's not the mark of a great man. It's whether you could be the best at other things, two things, or three things. How can you reinvent yourself? Man, you guys are killing it. Thank killing you. It. Thank killing you. It. Killing it.
Thank you. Well, Magic, we want to thank you for your time tonight. Obviously, knowing how busy you are and just the man you are, like you said, you're responsible for all your actions, and that's respectable. The barriers you've broken, the wall, the heights you've achieved, we need to see it to believe it. And you're someone that has continued to show us that it's possible.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you for that. And man, best of luck.
Yes, sir.
Love to see you as the owner of an NBA team one day. I mean,
appreciate it.
That'd be great.
I appreciate it.
But how can we get some money with you?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
You can definitely do that.
Yeah,
so
we're going to talk about that.
We'll all three invest in something, and it's going to win, too.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
it's going to win.
Man, that's a wrap. All the smoke. The one and only Magic Johnson. Give it up. Appreciate you, baby.
Oh,
thank you
know.
Very much. Love,
love you,
man.
Boy.
Thank
you know
man.
That.
Thank you.
Love you, Jack.
Appreciate it.
You know, thanks for having me.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over.
Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.